Good morning to you all, and welcome to our Sunday morning service here at Hope, either here or at home. There will be coffee, tea, served afterwards in the hall, and I know you all know where that is. Edith is our Bible reader today, the first reading being from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 698 of the Old Testament. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 5 and can be found on page 4 of the New Testament. Verses 12-20. I shall now light our Christ candle whilst we have quiet moment for prayer, and may we feel our Father in heaven is with us at this time.
Good morning and welcome all of you to our service this morning. We gather as part of God's family. And not having been here for 3 weeks, I got indirect questions asking me if I had already retired or if I was thinking of coming back. Not being here did not mean that I was not doing work, but I know you didn't believe me, but I'm back here and will make you all smile and regret having had those evil thoughts. The best way to do that is having a very long service this morning so that you won't forget that I'm back. I'll do my best not to. We gather for worship because God calls us to come together, and we are in communion with the people of God in so many different places, who meet in so many different ways. And we are grateful for that. Psalm 112, the psalm for today, says, "Shout praises to the Lord. The Lord blesses everyone who worships him and gladly obeys his teachings. They will be so kind and merciful and good that they will be a light in the dark for others who do the right thing. So bear in mind this thought of being light in the dark for ourselves and for others. Amen. Our first hymn this morning, all from Rejoice and Sing, is hymn 104, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. And while we sing, I will light the peace candle, remembering that we are about to reach 52 weeks of lighting it every Sunday, towards the 24th, I think it is, of February, is the anniversary of when we started the first time. Let us sing. People, times are particularly difficult and complicated, and it's a time in life, the life of the world in which we live, where there are many questions, and sometimes it's very difficult to find the right answer because we're not always sure what the right answer is. So we keep asking, we keep trusting, we keep praying, and when we do so, we become part of the praying, loving, caring community of God's children in the world, sharing exactly that, our search, our hope, and our trust. So we come to God with prayer, and what we're going to do today, we're going to start by saying the Lord's Prayer together, and then I will lead on to the prayer of confession, thanksgiving. Let us pray. We say together, as Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Yours is the kingdom. We praise you. We've sung it. We say it. We need to believe it. We need to live by the words we say. Thank you, dear God. Not only did we meet together, not only by beginning with the words of the Lord's Prayer, we enter into that family relationship where you are Father and we your children. Here, the churches of the partnership, your church in all the world. We have addressed you as Father. We know you love us as Father, and you ask that we love each other as your children. Thank you. Thank you for those things in life that remind us of your presence. Thank you that you are there even those days that we aren't too sure about it. Even those days when the seeking for answers is tough and we don't know where to head. When we get many different answers from many different sources and we turn to you and say, Dear God, what is the right thing to do? We pray that our hearts, our ears, and our whole being be attentive, because your answer sometimes is as loud as thunder, but sometimes it's mere whisper. Guide us. Guide us on the path of life. Help us. Help us when we don't know what to do. Give us your light that we may shine that light amongst all the lights that are offered in this world. Help us to discover that as the light shines, we also find the shadows, and to recognize the shadows in our own life. Thank you that you have not given up on us. Thank you for all those who have come before us, who have prepared the way for us. And as we face the future, may we be aware that we are preparing the way for others. Help us in this time of silence to think of all the nice things and beautiful things and wonderful things that we know about and have experienced, that make us feel better. We come to you also needing forgiveness, seeking the right way, recognizing that there are many times we don't live up to your expectations. Forgive us when our thoughts are not your thoughts, and our ways are not your ways. Forgive us when we convince ourselves that we know better than you do. Forgive us when we won't accept that grace is humbling and we feed on pride. Forgive us if we think that others are in the wrong and we are always in the right. Forgive us when our faith stumbles. Forgive us when we feel that we should be stronger than we are and we can't recognize before you our failings, our weaknesses, because it is through this way that you take from us the heavy load, restores us, helps us become the better people we can be. Help us to have faith, to live faith, to share faith. Help us to become the new people that through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit you want us to be. To you be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen. And hymn 499 challenges us. Have faith in God, my heart. Trust and be unafraid. God will fulfill in every part each promise he has made.
Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 58, reading from verse 1, and you can find it on page 698 in the Pew Bibles. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people the rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways. As if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves? But you do not notice. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 5, reading from verse 12, and you can find that on page 4 in the Pew Bible. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Certainly worked overtime today with the reading, didn't you? Thank you very much. Lord, we hear the word, words we know and recognize, but they compel us here today, now, to hear again. You're compelling us to act, to do, to believe. Help us to hear you and do according to your will. Amen. Oh, dear me. Why not? Thank you, Jeff. I got carried away. After the inspiration of Edith leading us, I was going straight into it. But it does say, day by day. So the anthem today, there we are. You see, I've been away for 3 weeks. Day by day, you will recognize the words. You've heard them before. Richard of Chichester, day by day, dear Lord, we pray. Let us be guided by the choir. Thank you for reminding me of the choir singing, and my apologies to the choir. What happens when we know a reading so well that we don't hear it? We know where it begins, we know where it ends, we know what the middle says, We can quote verses of it. Do we run the risk that it becomes just part of the scenery, the background, as long as it doesn't bother us? The mission of the Bible is not only to teach, but to ask awkward questions. But deep down, that's what I've always felt that, in general, education should do. Ask awkward questions. Help us to think. Help us to grow as people. The two readings today definitely ask questions. And probably the biggest question it asks is, how are we to follow God's ways today? But you see, over the years, God's ways have had to adapt to the reality in which we live. God's had to, quote unquote, learn that things happen as life develops. The world 700 years before Christ, the time of Isaiah, was very different from the world in which Jesus walked the streets of Palestine. To us, they're just the old world. But if you took somebody from the age of Isaiah and planted them suddenly in the middle of Jerusalem in Christ's time, they would know what had happened. And these are quite different times for us from what they were from Jesus. So how do we respond, reading words that are that old, to the reality of God's ways today? The two readings we've heard today are quite unique. And for a number of years, Isaiah 58 has been one of my top five readings. If I were to ask in 10 seconds to respond, which are my favorite ones? They put before us the practical consequences of being community. And that's what our faith brings us to. We are part of the children of God, a community. But it's quite interesting. We have never been more on the earth as we are now. You probably all read, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, we reached the 8 billion mark. 2 weeks later, we're probably 8 billion and 10, whatever. But 8 billion, can't even imagine. Can you imagine what that weighs on planet Earth floating through space? We are linked together in so many different ways. The first and foremost, we are all human. 8 billion human beings with dreams, with hopes, expressed in different languages, expressed in different ways, but human. Often, the ways 8 billion people follow clash with each other. And sometimes we blame the understanding of faith, not only culture. But there are different ways of expressing this faith, or none at all, as there are different ways of being Christian. And you must know that. You must know people, I'm sure all of you know people who identify as Christians as we do, but they've chosen to live it in a different way than we do. I want to be dead honest with you. And I have found at times in my life that I probably have more in common with those who say they have no faith than with certain expressions of what they believe, or they believe that I believe, Christian faith should be. And that's something I struggle with. There are different expressions of this. Jesus ends up in the reading from Matthew pointing this out. If you are no better than the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom of God. Can you imagine hearing that? Because the Pharisees, the scribes, were sure of one thing, and that was They were right. They were getting into the kingdom of heaven. And this is Matthew 5. We've got 20-odd chapters before, because of words like this, they decide that being right means you've got to get rid of Jesus. And it's one of the reasons he ends up on the cross, because he said things like that. A different understanding. To the question, what does God expect of us? There can be multiple answers. But let's focus on the two readings today and try to explore this way. As I said at elders' meeting on Thursday, the latest UK census has indicated that Christianity is now not the majority in our country. Roughly 49%. According to how people have defined themselves, where did they put the tick on the census form? So probably, and this is a fact that the churches are struggling with, we can't presume that Christianity today has the same impact on the life of the nation as it had before. And let's be dead honest to ourselves and to everybody else. Sometimes that is good. Because not every answer that Christianity has offered could live up to the question of what does God want from me. But does it mean that the 51% of the nation that doesn't tick that box, are they not capable of doing as much good as anybody else? Are they automatically in the wrong because they tick no box or a different box from what we did? Do we believe that being Christian gives us the monopoly of goodness? I have serious doubts about that. We are living in a time which is unique, and that's why it is so challenging, where we have to rethink what it means to be a follower of Jesus and the impact it has on the world. But that's something Jesus could identify with. Clearly, his understanding of the kingdom of God was at odds with what the rest of the world, what the Roman Empire was thinking. So he's probably closer to where we are now than at the times where we thought it was all triumphant. We are told by Jesus that we are expected to be light of the world and salt of the earth. But, he says, careful, if salt loses its taste, if the light is hidden, what are we talking about? We are told that we must be more righteous than Pharisees and scribes without becoming self-conceited in the wrong way, as the Pharisees were in the wrong way. The Pharisees and Sadducees were clear. They possessed the right knowledge. But Jesus points out that their practice was far, far away from knowing what God's will was. It wasn't enough knowing. It's not enough reciting the Lord's Prayer off by heart. It's not enough knowing this text and that text. Because it's not a competition. I doubt very much, within my human frailty, that a God is going to ask us, when we get to the pearly gates, okay, I want you to recite Romans chapter 5. Rest assured, there is a chapter 5. But I don't have my phone, which I don't have on me now, or I don't have the Bible open in chapter 5. I can say a few words of chapter 8, because it's one of the readings I use a lot for funerals, but I don't use chapter 5. I don't think God works that way. But for so many people, that's the way he works. Are they right? Are they wrong? As long as they don't judge me, because I don't reach their standards, or we don't judge them because they don't reach your standards, we can begin to talk. And so let's turn to Isaiah for a moment. Here we can recognize the distance between God's ways and our seeking of God's ways and doing God's ways. The reading begins with the acceptable ways of the time, fasting, being humble. But they have become external acts with no content. The prophet speaks very clearly about this. And he says, fasting and then exploiting your laborers. Keep your fast. Being humble, but doing the things that happen in the world. Keep that humility. There is no connection with living faithfully. We gather for worship. But worship, where we meet together, if it doesn't equip us for the living the next 6 days, what is it? Dear God, I went to church every Sunday. And? That's good, I'm glad. And we sung beautifully. Ah, dear God, singing, when we sang, it was wonderful, great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And? You see where I'm getting to. It runs the risk of becoming an empty symbol if we aren't nurtured for living. If there is no impact, if there is no connection with living faithfully, does it bring us closer to God outside these walls? How are we changed for the everyday? How does worship and our faith make us better, make us new? In Isaiah, we encounter people who live deeply religious lives, but they claim, God doesn't see it. God doesn't hear. It's as if God didn't care. So what's going on? They miss this reading of Isaiah from verses 6 onwards. They miss it out completely. It begins with, is this not the fast that I choose? And oh God, don't things change? And then he says, if you remove the yoke from among you, if you offer food to the hungry, if you attend to the afflicted, then your light shall shine in the darkness. Suddenly transported to Matthew and what Jesus has said. And the reading just immediately above from where Edith began this morning are the Beatitudes. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. Then God can satisfy us. God can guide us. And the people will be transformed. And the people of God shall rise and will be called repairers and restorers. That's what God is talking about. I can see no more wonderful promise than to be called a repairer and restorer of that which is broken. It affirms God's openness to the people of God with a gift of fullness of life. This is when our ways are connected to God's ways. And clearly, our country is in desperate need of repairs of ways and broken walls and broken bridges. The world needs it. And each of us is challenged to be part of this, to carry it out, to practice God's will in such a way that it becomes our way. We had a World Concerns meeting this week. And if you read the weekly news, after I've said a couple of words, you'll realize what I'm leading to. We heard the Tradecraft PLC has gone into administration. We couldn't have imagined that a few years ago. I mean, it's heartbreaking. It truly is heartbreaking. Though the charity arm, Transform Trade, will keep going. We spent quite a bit of time in what concerns talking about this. Because there will be no more Tradecraft Fortnight. Liz can't buy Tradecraft products for us to buy. Though the world is a long way from where all this started, we talked about understanding trade justice. We were encouraged that the regional work of Tradecraft in the world will continue, helping people in different parts of the world dealing with these issues that are very difficult. And suddenly we realized that something like Tradecraft was really deeply a way of being part of God's way. That we were able to share and do something about. No Tradecraft. Are we absolved then of trying to make our choices still ethical choices? How can we work in ways that will do what Isaiah is saying? How can we work in ways that light shines in this world? How will we relate to our community beyond ourselves? William Temple, you've probably heard of William Temple before, a great, great preacher and thinker in biblical terms, once said, "The church is the only organization that exists solely for the benefit of its non-members." I think that is wonderful. Because if it is only for members, we become another club. If it is for those who aren't members, we cannot live without them. And there were we thinking they couldn't live without us. Who is going to ask the questions? Who's going to challenge us? Who's going to lead us on discovering how we can be more faithful to God? Working with those who say they don't believe. Working with those who believe in a different way. Working with those who are good people. Working with those who probably have suffered pain because the church hasn't always been generous and kind. We know that exists. But our call through Jesus and Isaiah this Sunday is how to be the light that comes from God for this world. Do you know what? There's a lot to discover. Lots to do on the way ahead. And some of the Lent talks that are coming on the Wednesdays that follow will be addressing questions like these. Pick up a program before you leave today. And if you can't come to all of them, come to some of them, because we will be asked questions similar. May the Spirit guide us. Give us the light we need to be the light the world needs. Amen. We go and listen to this prayer. God of the people of the past, the people of the present, and the people to come, giver of law, love's law, in whom there is no blandness, no dullness of oppression, liberate us from all that numbs compassion, to find in your commands light undimmed and flavor unrestrained, through Jesus Christ, the fulfiller of the law. Amen. Hymn 636, "The Church of Christ in every age, beset by change but Spirit-led." David will now lead us in the prayers of intercession for this Sunday.
The prayers of intercession today were compiled by Dr. Elizabeth Welsh, who was a former moderator of the United Reformed Church General Assembly. And they have been compiled for today, the fifth Sunday of Epiphany. Loving and gracious God, you call us to be salt of the earth and light of the world. We give thanks for your gift and calling and pray that day by day we each may be renewed in your service. Help us to open our eyes to see your presence in our lives, even when we go through difficult times. Loving and gracious God, hear our prayer. Loving and peacemaking God, we pray for the parts of the world that live in conflict and struggle, that your light of hope may come into those struggles. We pray for Ukraine, for Russia, the ongoing discussion about tanks and armaments from the West. We pray for countries in the Middle East, in particular Palestine and Israel, in the violence that has swept across their land. We pray for the Far East, for all that is happening in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and the many conflicts across Africa. May the light of your peace dawn across the world. Loving and peacemaking God, hear our prayer. Loving and healing God, we pray for those who today are suffering in stress, in body, mind, and spirit, and find it difficult to see the light in their darkness. We pray for those who are bruised, those suffering from mental health issues, and those who find it difficult to find work because of mental health issues. In a moment's silence, we name before God those known to us who are suffering. May your healing light draw and dawn into their lives. Loving and healing God, hear our prayer. Loving and just God, we pray for those caught up in injustice, refugees struggling to find a place of safety, for the growing number of homeless people in this country, for those who are victims of economic principles which favour the wealthy. Come with your reign of justice into our government and governments of this world. May your light sweep into the dark places of the world and open up the possibility of new life and hope for all people. Loving and creator God, we give thanks for your gift of the created world and pray for the growth in the care of the climate and environment. We pray for those making decisions with regard to green spaces in this country and those addressing climate injustice across the world. May your light open our eyes to your earthly gifts and take due care of the planet in which we live. Loving God, you brought the church into being to be the salt and light. We pray for the church in her struggles with the faith in these challenging times. We hear about the decrease of Christian faith in the West. Give us confidence, wisdom and courage to live out your light in communities in which you call us to live day by day. And loving eternal God, we remember those who've died, both recently and over the years. Give thanks for the light that they cast in your world. And in a moment's silence, remember those who have passed. We give thanks for the example of those who have gone before us and pray for those who mourn their loss. Loving God, hear our prayer. And into your hands, O God, we commend ourselves and our prayers, both silent and spoken. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the salt and light of the world. Amen.
Thank you, David. In response to the prayers of intercession, let us share this time for the offering, what we can set apart and give, what we do through the electronic ways. And remember, we will be dedicating that which is in the box that will be going to the food bank this week. We are blessed with as a gift from you. We pray that this offering and what we give in so many different ways, from our possessions, our time, and our talents, through the guidance of the Spirit, may serve this world as another expression of light and salt. We also remember the food bank and what it will receive, that in the multiplication of the little we can give, many, the multitude may be fed. Amen. And we share the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Closing hymn this morning. Some of you may have probably sung it yesterday during the rugby match or hummed it or not. I don't know. You probably know the tune. But we will sing it now as a hymn and come together, because this is the song we close today, reminding that we are pilgrims following God's will. certainly sounded as if there were about 300 people at Emmanuel this morning. Really good, well done. That passion. Be thou a flame, bright flame before us. Be thou a guiding star above us. Be thou a smooth path below us. Be thou a kindly shepherd behind us. This day and forevermore. And go in peace to walk that path that God has prepared and promised to walk with us. We aren't alone. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and with God's people everywhere. Amen.